sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great. How great is our God! And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great is our God. Sing with me, and all will see how great is our God.
Well, all I have to say is, he is great. The scripture says, let us magnify the Lord, let us exalt his name together, and we've done that this morning. Our subject today is the beginning of a series that started a week or two ago in some of the small groups, having to do with the subject of seeing God as he longs for us to see him. And for those of you that are in small groups, I think you will have come to the conclusion that this is a dynamic study. And that we have a lot to dig into this book and this study and to explore God in all of his beauty and all of his greatness and all of his grandeur. And as we look at him through his word, through this study, it should do what happened this morning and draw our hearts to magnify him and to worship him. The scripture that came to my mind as I was sitting there this morning is this: God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Is your God too small? Not even the world can contain God. He made the world. He is great and greatly to be praised. As we study this subject, it's to not only see God as he is, but to know God, because he longs for us to know him. He wants us to reach out. This painting is the background, is the one painted by Michelangelo. And it's God reaching down to man. Man has within his heart a deep need to connect and to know our Creator in a personal way. And the Bible says that we love him because he reached out to us. He first loved us. Anything that we know about him has to be revealed to us by him. God in the past spoke to us through prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us in a very special and a very unique way. He's spoken to us through his Son. And so he has revealed himself in creation through his word and through his Son. We need to put on some special glasses to be able to see God as he is. This passage is from the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord wanted us to know the blessing of having a right relationship with him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we can see God as he is as we put on our spiritual glasses and take our textbook, the Bible, and learn more about him. If you're not in a small group and you would like to be in one, there's room for you. It's a great subject. I think of all the ones that we've studied today, this one is one that's got me excited because we're going to explore the person of God and what he is like. And the more we explore, the more we study, the more we can understand him and what he wants us to understand about himself. The Bible gives us so many things about God, including his feelings. And as we think about God, it determines how we respond to him. That's a quote by Chip Ingram, who is the author of our book. And we ask ourselves the question, what is God like? Well, the Bible says that he is a spirit. God is a spirit. In fact, the Bible says he's light. He's love. And John concludes with the trilogy of lovely truth, which is that he is life. And in him is life. And that life is light. And that light shows us the love of God. And so we see these attributes of God, that God is good. He is sovereign, holy, wise, just, loving, and faithful. And in the Lord Jesus Christ is seen the fullness of that Godhead bodily. When we see him, we see what God the Father is like, and it helps us to understand the greatness and all of those attributes of God. If you want to see him, look at the scriptures. And step number one, and I would take this pattern, and it's a good study material for young people especially, open up John chapter 1, and look at the interactions between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus and the disciples, and how they open their eyes to see him as he was. And John the Baptist said, behold, take the scales off your eyes, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Step number one is come and see him. Stop and open your eyes. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He's come not only to reveal the love of God, but he came as the Lamb of God to die on a cross for our sins. And this morning, if you don't know him as your own Savior, he says, come and see. Secondly, call and receive him. He is the salvation of God. and just open your mouth, confess him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. It's wonderful. And the third step, and what we do here at Bethel, is to claim him and proclaim him. And we say to people, open your heart and look out because the fields are white unto harvest. He wants us to share that love and to let people see him. And sometimes that means seeing him through us. So open your heart. Your thoughts of God are too human, said Martin Luther as he wrote this letter to Erasmus in a book called Let Me See Thy Glory, A Study of the Attributes of God. Seeing God as he is, this is the greatest need of every Christian today. And it's life's greatest ambition. The only hope of transforming our lives and our world is through coming to know God as he is revealed in the scriptures. The truly great men and women throughout history are those that devoted themselves to this goal. How will you be remembered by your children and grandchildren and the ages and the future to come? It's to the extent that you knew God and that you revealed him through your life to other people. What we need is a child's faith. A little boy was sitting down and drawing a picture on a piece of paper, and he was being observed by mommy. And mommy said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And she said, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." And he said, "Well, they will when I get through drawing this picture." Of course, we have a perspective of what God looks like. In our book, God as He Longs for Us to See Him, there are misconceptions. And what you think about God shapes your whole relationship with him. It determines how close you will grow toward him. So if we see God as an overzealous policeman or an angry judge, or if we think he's like us, it changes the way that we see him. What I'm doing this morning is giving you a review of the few chapters at the beginning of the book, and some of you have already studied some of this in your small groups, and some of you haven't got there quite yet. But in the first few chapters, he reveals to us some misconceptions, and they create a barrier in our relationship. He used an example, and in his life, there was a misconception that he had of a young woman named Denise, and it really altered his relationship with her. And what he found out is that she had misconceptions about him too. And sometimes the desire that we have in getting to know people is obscured, it's obstructed because of our misconceptions, our misunderstandings. We prejudge a situation instead of being honest about it and looking at all of the facts. The desire that we have to know God is huge. And the questions that we need to think about is this question, first of all. What is it that you think about when you think about God? What's your view of him? Secondly, what do you think he thinks about when he thinks about you? And then thirdly, how do these perceptions affect your relationship with him? God created us for intimacy, for relationship, even friendship. Are you experiencing that? Our perception of God affects us in three ways, and this is from the book. And he talks about the lack of communication that we have from God. It affects our ability to talk to him, our prayer life. The other way it affects us is our identification with God. And by that he's saying, what does God really think of us? Well, really, God is very interested in each one of us today. You can go home today and say, God is interested in me. Does that alter my interest in him? He's very interested. He's so interested, he invested the best that he had, his only son, to come into this world and show us what God was like. That's the way that God wants to identify with us. He's so interested in every aspect of our life. And the third area is that we struggle sometimes with our misconception and our relationship with God because of a lack of commitment that we have. We think that if we have a more committed relationship with God, it's going to affect the fun factor in our life. Well, there is no real joy in life without him. And so we need to get rid of some of these misconceptions. We have this longing and a desire to know God. And the book that we're studying is designed to rekindle and fan that desire into a flame. Perception, in essence, becomes reality for us. How we think about God changes the reality of our lives. It can alter our lives for great good and to be used for God's glory. It could also make us spiritual wimps, where we don't want to do anything in life because we have a wrong concept of who God is and who we are. So our perception of God is going to change our relationship with Him. The more I learn about Him, the more it has the ability to strengthen that relationship. So we want to develop an image of God as He longs to be seen. It's a great quote. It's one thing to reach a rational conclusion that God is good, and entirely different to that truth is that it affects the way we make decisions, interpret events, and look to the future. It's a quote out of our book. Another one is this quote: every one of God's attributes has the potential to change us. Imagine being in a classroom with the greatest teacher that ever lived, and he says to you, "When you're done with my class, you're going to be different. In fact, you're going to be like me." Those are the potentials that exist in learning more of God's attributes. And so take this little wallet-sized, crinkled up, worn-out picture of God and set it aside and let Him unveil an amazing portrait of Himself. Seeing God as He longs to be seen will change you forever. And that's going to be our study for the next 7 weeks as we learn more of God and His attributes. But we have a problem. We don't see as we should. And so seeing God with 20/20 vision, can everyone see that? If you have 20/20 vision, you should be able to see that. In the second chapter, he says, sometimes you need help. And he talks about his own experience where he couldn't read his notes anymore. Now, if you've ever sat beside someone that says, "I can't see that, can I borrow your glasses?" It's kind of amusing because you realize that they're missing the mark. And the changes that he had were gradual. And so he noticed this was affecting his calling from God. He actually couldn't see to do what he was supposed to do. And when we don't see God as we should see Him with 20/20 vision, it distorts every area of our life. The study of God Himself is the loftiest and most significant pursuit that you could ever undertake. So we need sharp, clear, spiritual eyesight to understand and to see Him as He really is. And we tend to assume that God is just like us. It's a natural thing. The Bible doesn't say that God is anything like us. In fact, the problem is we're not God's type. But something wonderful happened. When I became a Christian, God's Spirit came inside of me, and unbeknownst to me, I started changing. It was almost magical. It changed my perception of the world. It changed my attitude towards people. It changed my desires. It changed my focus. I was starting to see life as I was designed to see it. God wanted me to sharpen my eyesight, to see Him with 20/20 vision. So we tend to assume that God is just like us. We tend to reduce Him to measurable and controllable terms. And then finally, we overlook the obvious and significant ways that He has revealed Himself to us. Tozer said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So this is the problem that we have. Rose-colored glasses. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. It's from Chip's book. We need a clear, accurate picture of God. He also says in his book, individually or as a church, we act in a way that states clearly what we actually think of God. What we do tells people what we think of Him. Makes you change what you're going to do next. Makes you think about it. And until you know God as He is, you will never become all that He has created you to be. So we need to put on some glasses, and so we go to our spiritual optometrist, as he says in the book, and he says you need to put some lenses in front to assess your spiritual eyesight. The first one is this: God is not like us. He's different. You look in the mirror and you know that too. When you look in the mirror and you look at what's in your heart. Let's look at some scriptures. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal? And Isaiah goes on to describe God, the everlasting God, the Creator. There is no one that is equal to our God. Therefore, you are great, O Lord, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. And then in Romans, oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God wants us to know him and to see him as he is. Lens number two is this, that we tend to reduce God to manageable terms, so we shrink him. This is called reductionism. And reductionism says, if I can bring God down to my level of understanding, then I could manage him. But God cannot be managed. We tend to think of God as a self-help genie, as the God on demand. Okay, you just flip the channel and he's there. Ask him what you want and it's going to happen. We tend to reduce the sovereign Lord of the universe to a servant who's supposed to fulfill our personal agenda. Is that your idea of God? Have you reduced him to manageable terms? God will not be managed. He's not a dispensing machine. He's not a salad bar religion type God where you say, well, I'll just pick and choose what I like. Job learned this, and his friends, as they discussed God's purposes, and yet they couldn't even understand the blueprints of creation. And Moses was up on the mountain. We learned about Moses recently in our study in Exodus and Moses' life. Up there on the mountain getting 10 commandments from God, and the people were down at the bottom of the mountain making a golden calf. They thought Moses had gone AWOL. When you make God bigger than your problems, then your problems become smaller. It's a great principle to keep in mind in your life. Don't reduce him to manageable terms. And the third lens is this one. God can only be known as he reveals himself to us. And he reveals himself through nature, through his word, and through his son. Inspiration and creation and the Lord Jesus. And God longs for you to see him. So the picture of God that we actually have is an important picture. And how do I know whether I'm seeing him as he really is? You need to go to the book. You need to go to the source and ask God, show me what you're like. So our spiritual eye doctor wants us to make sure that every aspect of our vision is functioning at peak capacity. So we need a spiritual eye exam. And so when we look through that lens and we use the scriptures, we'll see verses like this. Thou God seest me. Imagine that. How'd you like that on your bedroom wall every night when you go to bed? And every morning when you get up? God, you see me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He that has seen me has seen my Father. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, the heart of the Father, has declared him. He has revealed him to us. Thomas had on rose-colored glasses. He needed to change them instantly. But he said, unless I see those wounds, I will not believe. And he saw the Master, and what happened? He said, Lord, Lord, I believe. And John 20:20 is the good 20:20 verse in your Bible. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So what lenses are you looking through? The first one is God is not like us. The second one is God cannot be reduced. We cannot shrink God. And God can only be known to us as he reveals himself to us. G.I. Packer, in his book, and this is out of our study book as well, goes through the book of Daniel. He identifies four measurements that we can use to actually determine whether we know God. So godly vision can be measured on these four scales. Energy. How much energy do you have for God? Secondly, those who really know God think great thoughts about him. We don't reduce him, we exalt him. What are your thoughts like about God? The third one is boldness. Do you have a holy boldness for God? A spiritual boldness? Courage that you didn't know existed? Those who really know God, they demonstrate boldness for him. We're all chickens, okay? I'm not suggesting we're all great heroes of the faith here today. We all have fear. But with God's help, we can be bold for him. And how bold are you for him? Fourthly, contentment. Knowing God brings contentment in our lives. And how content does that relationship make you? The Lord Jesus spoke these words out of the Gospel of Luke. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." The things that make for peace are hidden from your eyes. Are your eyes open today? Do you see him today as the Lord that loved you and gave himself for you? Do you see him that way? He said, they're hidden from your eyes. And then he warns them, days are going to come. God is warning today, if you have rejected him, if you don't accept him and see him as he is, he wants to open your eyes today. He wants to bless you. God says there'll be devastation coming because, look at that last line, because you did not know the time of your visitation. God wants to visit you today. He wants to open your eyes today. And he wants you to start increasing your perception of him and to know how great he is. So the question is it really possible to see God just as he is? We can know God as he is. You can't know him completely, exhaustively. Moses said that he wanted to see the glory of God. He couldn't. He only saw a part of that glory. No one can see my face and live, says God. In John's gospel, we read Philip saying to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." If you want to see God today, look at Jesus. Open your eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. And you will see the Father in all of his glory. And we have not received a spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That is the only sure way that you can see God as he is. Ask God to save your soul, and he will give you his Holy Spirit. And open your eyes, and you will see him as he is. And he will reveal himself to you. And that's why God's revelation to us depends on our relationship with him. The second one is, what must I do to see God as he really is? Is it possible to see him? Yes, to the extent that we can. But what must I do? Great verse from Jeremiah. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me." It's a promise. When you search for me with all your heart, God promises that we will see him when we seek for him. And he will give us his Spirit to do that. But we need to ask the right questions. And so we are always doing this. We were reminded of this when our brother Brad Dixon was here sharing with us a few weeks ago. To seek, to ask, and to knock. And are you doing that? Are you praying, "Lord, I want to see you. And I want to know you." In our study, we looked at the book of Proverbs, and the first five verses of Proverbs 2 are up here for us. And I'd like to just look at the thoughts that go along with them. "Accept, learn, treasure, and store up his word. My son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you." This is a formula of how we can see God and seek him. "So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." So we need to submit and desire to be taught by God. What a great teacher he is. "And if you will cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, you will develop a passionate prayer life." God wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. That's how you can seek him and how you can see him. "And if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures," and making God a quest for you as a priority every day. And then finally, "you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And this provides us with motivation for our lifetime. If we seek him with all our heart, we will experience the knowledge of the Holy One. Accept, learn, treasure, and store up his word so that we may seek him. Closing up our thoughts on this subject today. Seeing God as he longs for you to see him means discovering the true knowledge of God. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Consider Jesus. And that word consider is the word to discover. It's like getting in a ship and launching out and heading for a shore on the other side where we finally get into that right relationship with God. We're on a path of discovery. And today, we take the first step in our study. The best way is to know him. The best way is to know him personally. And so we need an accurate view of God. So studying his attributes is a journey, and it's a journey that's worth taking. So prepare yourself for the adventure that's to follow in the weeks ahead as we continue to explore the attributes of God. And they are, simply put, like a diamond with facets. And no matter how you turn that diamond, it sparkles the glory of God. And we see these seven attributes that we're going to be studying in the weeks ahead. God's goodness. He blesses us. He's a generous God. He's concerned about us. And his Son embodied that goodness. His sovereignty. He rules creation because he is omni-everything. He does it freely with a perfect will, with an eternal purpose. He's holy. He's majestic and morally pure. The Lord Jesus hated sin. He hated it so much that the Bible says, he became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we say with those attributes before us, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I'm going to ask Darren to come back up, and as they do, I'm going to close in prayer and ask you today to pray that prayer, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful truth of who you are. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us through our Lord Jesus, and we pray that our desire in going through the study is that it will change us to be more like him. And as we study the attributes of your goodness and your love and your holiness, as we immerse ourselves in this exploration, this discovery of who you are, we pray that it will change us so that we might be more like you. And we ask this today as we give thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Prayer, that is. a personal prayer from our heart this morning. Lord, that we can see you. That we can see you through our eyes. Help us to take the glasses that we need to see you. To see you more clearly. To understand. To take that time to be quiet. With no distractions. And come before you, the living God. Thank you, for Lord, for what we learned this morning. Let it not just start there or stop there. That we would continue on this journey to see you more clearly. Amen. God bless.